projects in your hands. Thank you for your efforts to make us better by your word and by your spirit within. Thank you for the indwelling of the Spirit which walks in us. The will, the pleasure, daily. Thank you for every heart here this morning. Thank you for devotion to you in our heart. Thank you for being that most important thing in our life. We ask this morning that by your word, the work is further done in revelation and in utterances. We ask that your power fills every heart, creating the right images, helping us to see right from your walk in salvation and revelation. Help us to see the essence of the sin, and you inspire us by your word to walk in it. We ask that the strengthening of the source of assurance happen in every heart this morning, as our minds are flooded with your light. Yep, just as there's an error in the teaching, there's an error in our understanding. We ask that together as a church, as one man will be, O Jesus, and as we see in this world, see ourselves and see others in him, our walk will be much more better. As the church is edified and the name is glorified this morning, we ask you to say this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who chose this. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's walking everything in obedience to Christ. Hallelujah. He's redirecting. He's recreating. He's restoring. He's renewing. He's walking. He's changing. He's transforming. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Let's have a seat, church. 2 Timothy 3. That is our text. Amen. Alright. So I'll just say heart this morning. And then the next thing here is men. Right? In 2 Timothy 3, we're on salvation, right? 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 We're on salvation. How many were at the Bible seminar? Who and who were not at the Bible seminar? Who? You're not at the Bible seminar. You were not at the Bible seminar at all. Can I see your hand? You didn't attend the Bible seminars. Really? Did you attend the Bible seminar? Why is your hand down? Did you attend the Bible seminar? You, did you attend? So why is your hand down? Where is your hand up? Did you attend the Bible seminar? 1, 2, 3, 4. We have a lot of people that attend seminar. Okay, I saw you one evening on bike towards tanking, and I didn't see you in church. I think that was about 3 or 4 days ago. Is that true? When I got into service, I didn't see you. So I was wondering where you went. Are we together? Praise God. So, I will say, we are back to our study. That's what we are doing. I'm looking at salvation. Or you have forgotten the subject through the seminar. But you're expecting me to teach spiritual, but no. Friday morning, praise God. Alright. Let's look at 365 Fridays. Or 52 Fridays. 52 Fridays. Alright. So, in 2 Timothy 3, Paul says, can we read verse 15 to 17 together? We want to go. So what have we seen so far? What did we check? What text were we did we look at last week? What text? 2 Peter chapter what? How many of you studied it at home? You went through it. You went through it. And you understood it. You did not understand it. Or Satan has stolen it away. Amen. All right. I'm just running towards this to help us, you know, take advantage of what we are learning, what we've been learning, and what we'll be learning. You should be smarter now. At least just attending the Thursday services. You should be smarter from attending the Thursday services now. We'll go over it immediately. Amen. In 2 Peter 2, right? 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 Verse what? 20, right? So it is that been, it had been, for it had, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, you know, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein. And I explain all that to you. He says, and overcome. So we said their latter end is worse, right? Than the what? Than the beginning. What's the latter end? How that they are now what? Hardened. Did you see that? You know, he didn't say that their judgment will be worse than it should be before. No. He says their state, their condition. Because at this stage, they are now hardened. Do you get it? Are you learning? Are you learning how to read Bible text also? Huh? Huh? Okay, so you can see that Bible study is a little bit of work. I was listening to Pastor Chris yesterday, Pastor Chris Oyakhilome. I stumbled at a snippet of their annual, ministers conference or leaders conference, something like that. I don't know which one exactly. I just stumbled at it. It was live session, so I just stumbled at it, and Pastor Chris took about 30 minutes explaining on language. I was like, wow. So as he was talking, you know, the camera will show the audience. People were, so he was mentioning some languages and languages that have been wrongly misused over the years. And I could see people's faces. I was in my heart. I said, come to our church. You will not see the faces like that. Amen. So it's just like that. If you want to teach the scripture, I mean, I respect Pastor Chris a lot, Pastor Chris Yakileme. I think Pastor Chris is one of the foremost ministers I respect most. I mean, on earth, past, present, and future. I know Moses is very strong, I mean, but I don't know Moses, amen. But I know Pastor Chris, you know. I know Pastor Chris. Yeah. Some people like that are just unique. Amen. I don't listen to him, he doesn't teach me, but I mean, I just love him, so. All right. In 2 Peter 3, praise God. That is the computer after him? No. In 2 Peter 2, so we read verse 22, right? Right? So he said, it is happened unto them. According to what? Can we say that they have fulfilled the text? Huh? Huh? They fulfilled the text in Proverbs. They fulfilled that text of the dog, the fool, and the pig. Amen. They fulfilled that text. Just like Judas Iscariot fulfilled the text in Psalm. I talked about his ministry being taken away from him, the bishopric. So he says these guys have fulfilled the text that describes as dogs vomit, so the mire, fools, and not being persuadable. So the unpersuadability of the fool is the mouth of the pig. That is the vomit. That is the returning to the vomit of the dog. So I told you, it means that their nature never changed. Did you get it? So this text cannot be talking about believers, Christians in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Quickly, let's look at so we've seen Hebrews 6, we saw Hebrews 10. What other text have we seen? We saw 1 Corinthians 3, right? 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 Alright. What other text have we seen?
We saw 1 Corinthians 9. Amen. 1 Corinthians 9 says a castaway. What other text? We saw Matthew 12 on blasphemy, right? Right? What other text? What other text? We've seen 2 Peter 2. Amen. Alright. So, in Jude, let's look at Jude this morning. I actually wanted to look at another text, but I had to flip my notes miles forward to look at Jude. Actually backwards to look at Jude. Alright, Jude. So I almost skipped it, but I remember I listed it also. And I also want to look at some other text with you. I'll look at some other text with you. So, but later on, you know, I'm coming back to teach this subject again. I told you on the believer being saved and being saved eternally. And what we are going to be doing in that teaching session, interestingly, is not going to be in service. Okay? All right. So, I'm getting better these days. I'm getting better in when and where I teach what. So, we're taking soteriology into seminar. Are we together? The more reason why I now have to teach multiple Bible seminars in the week. So we'll have what we are looking at on Sundays. Are we together? Immediately after now, I want to take a look at, you know, what I've spoken to you about relationships. Praise God. I want to talk about that. And I'm also looking for a session where I can talk about leading of the Spirit. But I want to talk about leading of the Spirit on Sunday in the morning and maybe, you know, man, God's plan on man and relationships on Thursday in the evening. But I might, again, switch it. I can switch it. I only use the Sunday morning for, you know, the more exhortational one. And I want to use Thursday evening for the more academic one. All right. So, but I'll be taking soteriology out of teaching services now. I'll be taking it into, what's it called, Bible seminar. I'll be taking teaching the Spirit away from teaching service. I'll be taking, so all of those annual studies, we are literally going to be looking at it in the Bible seminar. But I will not teach prayer in the Bible seminar. I teach prayer in the service. I teach giving in the service. I teach evangelism in the service. But when it comes to those thorough biblical core principles and doctrine, we'll be using the Bible seminar. So I don't know how you do it with the seminar. God will bless you. But we also have Sunday afternoon for Bible seminar also. So maybe after a while, I'll link Sunday afternoon with Friday morning so that we can move faster from the same subject. So you see, I'm still doing all of that work here and I'll get it done. So in Jude now, it is verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. So, verse 4 again, is it referring to believers? It's not enough to say yes or no. We have to study out. And that's what we're going to do this morning. So, without much ado, just back up to verse 1. Let's do a contextual observation. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love multiplied, beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God unto lasciviousness, denying only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now look at verse 1 again, which is where I pick my thoughts from. Verse 4. He says there are certain men crept in what? Unawares. So Jude is trying to communicate discernment in his writing. So just put it there, discernment, and put an exclamation mark there. I'm trying to show you how I think when I'm reading the scriptures. Just discernment, just like a red light. Discernment. Oh. So I now see how did he do that work of communicating discernment. So just put discernment right in capital letter with lowercase. You can underline it and put exclamation mark in front. That is Jude's intention for writing. So, but in verse 1, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James. Now, look at something. He says, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. So, he is writing to them that are sanctified. I don't know how you read the epistles, but I think you should not need me to point that out to you. I will, anyways. Let's go over Romans down to Jude quickly. Close your Bible. Your notes. Or your Bible. Epistle, right? Right? Now, is an epistle a letter? Is it a letter? Okay, let's see the first letter the apostles ever wrote. Where will we find that, church? Acts 15, right? Some of you are thinking Romans. You wrote it. Acts 15. That was the letter, the first letter. So I say, what about the entire book of Acts itself? Are we together? Right. I just got you there. So Acts 15. Amen. Find me the verse. What verse? I thought I've been teaching you, so I can't even depend on you. Alright. I should be able to depend on you. Verse what? 22. Then please it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men, right? In 23. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren sent greeting unto the world, the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. So what starts the letter is what? A greeting, right? Right? A greeting. Now, look at verse 29. The last paragraph, it says, that you abstain from meat from idols and from blood and from things strangled, from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well. The ended letter. And they said, fear ye well. Did you see that? So the letter starts with a salutation and ends with a what? Ends with what? A farewell. You know, today what do you write? Yours what? I don't even remember well as I wrote yours faithfully. Just taught me in my English class. He said, this person you should write yours faithfully. The other person you should write yours truly. This other person should write yours what? Yours sincerely. And I was saying, don't write faithfully to this person. Write sincerely to this person. Write this. Just send an email. Amen. Praise God. Just send an email. I ended the email just say, kind regards. I bet my English teacher did not see that coming. That all his boys will be writing kind regards. Amen. Alright, so you see that's how letters are written. Amen. So if you are opening the epistle, I don't know why maybe Luke forgot that he was writing a letter, so he didn't add farewell to it to Theophilus. But look at Romans 1. So when you are writing a letter, it will contain how many addresses? Two, right? Your address and what? The person you are addressing it to, isn't it? Alright, so look at this. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Now, I know Paul didn't write number 4, Caesar's Avenue, Adioju Close. Are we together? Uh, Bamibuye Estate. Thank you. Bamibuye Estate. off Olokobi, a kilometer four. Did you write all that? Are we together? Are we together? All right. So he just wrote Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, an apostle separated to the gospel. Now, notice where did he write? Where did he mention who he's writing to? Verse 7, to all that be in what? In Rome. Okay? Are we together? Now, did you observe that verse 1 to verse 6 will therefore be one paragraph? Verse 1 to verse 6 should have not been vast at all. It should have just been going continuously. But it's okay. So it says, to all that be in Rome. Was he writing to all the Romans in existence? Or some people in Rome? So do we have to be careful of the word all? Good. It can't be to all that are in Rome. So to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called what? Saints. Alright. So called an apostle, called saints. Grace to you, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think what Paul was praying to them, or he was still greeting them? Alright. So he wasn't praying for them. He was simply affirming that which is available to them in God through Christ Jesus. You see also in 1 Corinthians 1, Paul called an apostle to unto the church. So you see who is writing and to whom it is being written to. In 2 Corinthians, was the same repeated. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, writing unto the church of God at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Alright? Galatians, thank you. Paul an apostle. Then it says, okay. Then it says, another brethren with me. Then he now says, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Wait, did Paul not say that? I'm writing church at Galatia. Yeah, it says also the churches at what? Galatia. You know, for the first time I thought, I wanted to say, wow, this was really serious. Paul was in a hurry to knock them. But he wrote it. In Ephesians 1, Ephesians 1, you know, you are not even saluted. He said, I marvel. I'm so shocked. You know, some of you, I chat you up like that. Say, good morning. I'm so shocked. I did that yesterday, that so I just felt, you are born again, you are born again, you are born again. In Ephesians 1, it says, to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you, are we together? It says, unto the saints which are at what? Ephesus. So, you always open the text that way. You know, Paul and Timotheus, the servant of Jesus Christ, writing to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi. Are we together? Which are at Philippi. So, Colossians, writing to the saints and faithful brethren which are at Colossae. Okay? Okay? He says, unto the church of God the Father in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, writing to the church of the Thessalonians, rather, which is in God the Father, the church of Thessalonians. So you see again, you see who is writing, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians in God, our Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Paul writing unto Timothy, my own son. Alright? So you always see that. Again, Paul writing in 2 Timothy 1 in verse 2 to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Are we together? Are we together? Alright, so you see in Titus 1, Paul, the servant of God, he then says in verse 1, in verse 2, in verse 3, I'm writing to Titus, verse 4, writing to Titus, my own son, after the common faith, koinos soteria. Are we together? Which means same faith, after the same faith. koinon soteria, common faith. So he says in Philemon, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, on writing unto Philemon. So you always see the person who is writing, and that's why one of the reasons why they said, oh, the writings of Paul to the book of Hebrews was not addressed like that. So people are doubting and saying, oh, is it Paul that wrote it? I mean, Paul's signatory was not there, you know, and Paul usually, you know, has his signature to all that he writes, you know. It's a valid point. Are we together? Again, when you see James write, James says, I'm a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes. I'm writing to the 12 tribes, you know, which are scattered abroad, greeting 12 tribes. And then, by the time you read Peter's account, you observe the kind of people James had written to. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, I'm writing to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, you know, and Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, you know, elect. So he's writing to the saved. James is also writing to the saved. That's why when you are reading James, you keep on reading, brethren, beloved, you know, right from verse 1, verse 2, you know, he has started talking to them about salvation. Are we together? Are we together? He says, you fall into diverse temptation, my brethren, count it joy. He now mentioned asking God for wisdom, and then he mentioned brother. Then he says, don't err, brother, you know. Then he says, we are born of the word, that we should be a kind of his first fruits. Then he says, to lay aside filthiness and receive the word which has been able to save your soul. So these folks were saved, you know. These folks were saved. Then it goes on in chapter 2. He now says, don't have the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ in vain. So it implies that the people is writing to have the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, the same thing. He says, unto the strangers, who refers to the saints also. Right from verse 18, he says, you have purified your heart by obeying the truth, you know. So Peter is writing, when he says strangers that are scattered about, is actually referring to believers in all of those places. In 2 Peter also, he says, I am writing to them that have obtained like precious faith. So again, he addresses believers. John, he just said that which is from the beginning. John seems to just not have time. Did the same thing with his epistles also. Even Revelation, just wrote, though later on he now says to the church at this, to the church at this, which, you know, if you don't really, because the truth is that the letter, the first epistle of John was actually a general letter. It was a general letter. Now the second epistle of John says, I am writing to the elder, you know, the elder, the elect lady. I am writing unto the elect lady and her children, you know, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also they which have known the truth also. So I am the elder, I am writing unto. So you always see an address of the person who is writing and the person who is being written to. If you look at 3 John also in verse 1, he says, the elder writing to the well-beloved Gaius. Then if you look at the epistles in Revelation, you see unto the pastor at Ephesus, unto the pastor, you know, at Smyrna, unto the pastor at Pergamos, unto the pastor, you know, at Thyatira, unto the pastor at Sardis, unto the pastor at Philadelphia, you know, unto the pastor at Laodicea. Interestingly, this is our text when we're looking at this subject next. All of this text, oh, I know your works, I will spew you out, or I will remove your candlestick. That is what we are revisiting. Is it clear? So we want to teach, what is Jesus' message to the churches at Revelation? We are not doing that, you know, in this current whatsoever. So we'll come back to it very shortly. So I'm going to be explaining that. Then we're going to look at the concept of eternal salvation from the Old Testament books. We're going to be doing that. And then we're going to look at school of thoughts. I'm going to be bringing you various school of thought that I said, no, salvation cannot. We will not be examining each of those school of thoughts. So when you go out there and you are teaching, and somebody is saying, I have an objection, the moment he starts the first line, we have had this one before, you know, you not stress. You know, so we'll look at the school of thoughts, we'll look at the letters to the churches at Revelation, and then we'll look at the Old Testament thoughts on eternal salvation. That's what we are doing in the next teaching series, not this current series. We're rounding up this series already. And if I don't finish today, then I'll finish on Sunday. So, in Jude, therefore, quickly. Jude. It is the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James. I am writing to them that are sanctified. So that word sanctified, do we have to go over hagiazo again? Or we understand it? Alright, so that's hagiazo, sanctified. Are we there? It is, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the same salvation, koinos soteria. Koinos is spelled K-O-I-N-O-S, koinos. It is from that word you have koinonia, is it clear? Which means what is common, fellowship, what we share together, koinonia, fellowship, what we have together, to have something in common, to have a fellowship of the gospel, koinonia of the gospel. So it is from the word koinos that you have the word koinonia. So you have koinos, which means same salvation, koinos soteria. He says, beloved, I read again, when I give all diligence to you, to write unto you, of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto you. So the writing to them about the salvation was an admonition that they should contend for the faith. They should contend. So he mentions them as those who are, he describes them as those who are sanctified. He is writing the letter to those who are sanctified, which implies to be consecrated to oneself. So these people are sanctified, yes, by God, but they are sanctified. When he says they are sanctified by God, it actually means they are sanctified unto God. Because to sanctify means to purify something unto oneself. So if you have sanctified something, it means you have purified it unto yourself. So if God sanctifies, it means God has separated it, God has purified it unto himself. So the text in verse 1 says sanctified by God, but we also know from your understanding of sanctification that it is also sanctified unto God. So he's talking to people who have been sanctified unto God. That's it. In verse 3, it says, mercy unto you in verse 2 and peace and love. We said he was not praying for them. He was not requesting that for them. Rather, he was affirming. It's an affirmation of God's provision to them in Christ Jesus. So he says, we have the same salvation in verse 3. Jude is saying that the people he's writing to are people who share the same salvation in verse 3. Then he says, I write unto you to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. To earnestly contend. That word contend is the word epagonizomai, which is the word we have seen. Epagonizomai, which means to stand your ground. To stand your ground, he says, for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Was once delivered. Delivered means to be handed over. What has been handed over? It is handed over through preaching. It is committed. What is committed unto you? Through preaching. Then it says in verse 4. Are we together? For there are certain men crept in unawares. Now, if you look at verse 17. It says, but you beloved. So it deals with some people in that book, which he says they have the same salvation with him, which he says that the doctrine of God, the message, have been given unto them, or the salvation has been delivered unto them, the faith has been delivered unto them. He called those people sanctified by God and unto God, preserved in Christ Jesus. He says they are called. He says they have the mercy of God and the peace of God and the law. Then he says they multiply it unto them. He calls them in verse 17, he calls them brethren. And he puts them in remembrance of the words which were spoken by the apostles. Are we together? Now in verse 4, he says there are certain men crept in unawares. Now, that phrase, certain men crept in unawares, is a single word. That word crept in unawares. Crept in unawares. Now the word certain is a word that we have seen. Are we together? Means what is clear, what is definite. Then men is also a word that we have seen. It's the same word as man. Men, man, the same word. Want to go over your text to know which word is that. Then it says crept in unawares. So that phrase, crept in unawares, is the same word we've seen before, parezduno. Parezduno, P-A-R-E-I-S-D-U-N-O. P-A-R-E-I-S-D-U-N-O. Parezduno. Now, if you recall vividly that in 2 Peter, are we together? In 2 Peter, go back to 2 Peter text. Are we together? In 2 Peter text, how did Peter put, put the answer to that, James, okay? James? In 2 Peter 2, Peter described certain people. He says, in 2 Peter 2, having said they denied the Lord that brought them, he says, many shall follow that pernicious way. I told you the word pernicious means destructive. It is by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be even spoken of, and through covetousness they shall with feigned words. Are we together? Through covetousness, amen, they shall with feigned words. Are we there? What did we say is the word covetousness again? Pleonexia, right? Or pleonexia, right? Right? They shall with feigned words. What is the feigned words there? Up. Go back to your notes. Go back to your notes. Denying. What is the denying? What's that word? What does it imply? The Lord that bought them. What's the bought? Agorazo. Okay. Then it says, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be able spoken of. So, and through covetousness. Right? Right? Is that what you're reading? Is that what you're reading? Through covetousness, they shall what? With feigned words. I'm taking you through the text so I can help you to trace what you wrote. Should have found plastos by now. Eh? Eh? Plastos what? Logos, right? Right? Alright? They will do what? They will make what? Merchandise, right? What's merchandise? Business trip, right? Right? And for your mind, right? Okay? Merchandise of you. Who's what? What's judgment? Destruction. Crisis, right? Now of a long time linger and all. And their what? Damnation. Apolia, right? Slumbers what? Not. Okay. Did I give you the word parades? Huh? I didn't give you. Huh? Where? Well, is it in Hebrews? No? Second Peter. Yeah, parades ago. Okay. What word is that again? Huh? Yeah, privately, right? Thank you. Which means deceptively, right? or deceitfully. Huh? What verse is that? Verse what? Verse 1. Who privately shall bring in damnable heresies? Privately shall bring in. That's parisago, right? We said it means to lead in what? Aside. Or to do what? To smuggle, right? Right? Parisago. So you now have parisduno. In Jude 4, when it says crept in unawares, are we together? Crept in unawares. Parisduno. So it means to secretly lodge. To secretly lodge. To lodge somewhere secretly. Are we together? To secretly lodge. So he says, Jude, are you there? So he says, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Now of old there talks about the Old Testament. By saying they were ordained of old to this condemnation, or of old they were ordained to this condemnation, he's talking about how that their judgment has already been spoken of in the Old Testament. He says, ungodly men turning the grace. The word ungodly is the word asebes. Asebes is spelled A-S-E-B-E-S, asebes, which is the word used for one who is wicked. Ungodly men turning the grace, metatitemai, turning, which means to exchange or to change sides. To change sides. Turning the grace of our God. So they are not turning the grace of God, they are changing sides with the grace. You can't turn the grace of God to something else. But they change sides. They turn from the grace. Don't forget, they said, you see, when you see the word Paris, parisago or parisduno, it means it is deceptive. I spoke about it last week. In fact, by the time you read on, you observe a similarity between James' admonition and Peter's admonition in 2 Peter 2. They are talking about the same thing. So he says, they turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only God, our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, did we see that same phrase in 2 Peter? Denying the Lord that did what? That bought them. Go there. They have used it to eat shallow and therefore. Are you in 2 Peter 2? Let's read verse 1. Everybody want to go? Sweet damnation. So read Jude verse 4. Tell me words that are likely been interchanged by the two writers. How did Paul put what Jude was saying? And how did Jude put what Paul was saying? Peter. How did Peter put what Jude was saying? And how did Jude put what Peter was saying? False prophet. Who is the false prophet in verse 4 here? Certain men crept in what? Can we see ungodly men? Okay, what else? What else? Can one person talk? One person. Who privately shall bring in what? Damnable heresies. How did Jude put it? Okay. Denying the Lord that bought them. How did you put it? Okay. Before I go ordained unto this condemnation, how did Peter put it? Huh? Good. So, are they referring to the same thing? Yes. The two writers. They are referring to the same thing. So, it says they turn from the grace of God. How did Peter put turn from the grace of God? They turn the grace of God into what? Lasciviousness. How did... Now, the word lasciviousness is Aselgia. A-S-E-L-G-E-I-A. A-S-E-L-G-E-I-A. Lasciviousness. You see it in Romans 13 verse 13. Used for wantonness. In 2 Corinthians 12 verse 21 it was used. Lasciviousness. Galatians 5:19. It was used. It was used in 2 Peter 2 verse 7. Look at 2 verse 7, 2 Peter. He says, look at 2 verse 7, 2 Peter. Can we read? And deliver just lot, vexed with the filthy lifestyle of the wicked. That word filthy is the same word as COG, lasciviousness. Filthy. It was used in verse 18 again. Read verse 18 of 2 Peter 2 quickly. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they are lured through the loss of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that are clean escape from them who live in error. The word wantonness is translated as a G. It comes out as lasciviousness. You find it in 1 Peter 4:3. 1 Peter 4:3. Ephesians 4:19 was used. So it is used always in the negative light. Negative. Actually, I checked it out well. Lasciviousness means to have no restraint, to be cautionless on all sides. So it's a summary for all works of iniquity. All works of iniquity. All works of iniquity. Somebody who has no control at all. Are we together? Is a trait of the unsaved. So, in Jude there, it says, turning the grace of our Lord God into what? Lasciviousness. And denying the only Lord God. He's not saying that they were preaching the grace message somehow. No. You are the one reading that one in your mind. They turned the grace of God. The grace of God there has to do with the long suffering of God, the benevolence of God. They abuse God's long suffering. You will find the same sets of people similar to the Romans 1 text that turns the truth of God unto what? Unrighteousness. The goodness of God, they begin to turn it to, you know, they get licentious. The goodness of God, they turn it into an avenue to misbehave, to live anyhow, to do a manner of things. So he says in verse 5, he says, I will therefore put you in remembrance that you once knew this. Now pay attention. How that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Did we see similar in 2 Peter? No, 2 Peter did not mention Egypt, right? Look at the next verse 6. Can we read? And the angels who kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, had he reserved everlasting chains unto the darkness of the judgment of the great day. Is it in 2 Peter? Was it seen in 2 Peter? Verse what precisely? 2 Peter verse 5. Verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that are sin, cast them down to hell and deliver them. So it's Peter and James saying the same thing. Look at the next verse in verse 7 of Jude. Even as Sodom and what? Gomorrah. And the cities about them. Oh. So it wasn't just Sodom and Gomorrah that the destruction hit. Did you see that? So he says, the cities about them in like manner. Did we see this in 2 Peter 2? Precisely verse what? Verse 6. Are we together? He now says, given themselves to fornication and going after what? Strange flesh. Are set for what? An example. Suffering the vengeance of what? Eternal fire. What does strange flesh there mean? He says in verse 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the what? The flesh. They despise what? Dominion. And speak evil of what? Dignities. Verse 9, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed not about the body of Moses. He disputed rather about the body of Moses. He does not bring a railing accusation, but said, the Lord what? Rebuked thee. In verse 10, but these speak evil of those things which they know not. Notice he says they deny the Lord that bought them, right? Right? And turn away from the grace of God into what? Lasciviousness. So when he says they speak against what they know not, he's talking about the gospel. So the dignity or dignities that they oppose in verse 8 and 9 has to do with spiritual authority. He speaks about people who run their mouth against church. Is it clear? Are we together? They run their mouth against all sorts. Dignities. Yeah. Does this also include, you know, physical symbols of authority in a nation? Well, by implication. But he talks about symbols of authority generally, beginning from the house of God. He says they speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, he says, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them. For they have gone in the way of what? Cain, right? What did Cain do? You have to go and find out. The way of Cain. Did Cain make a mistake or he knew all he was doing and did deliberately? He knew what he was doing. How you know is that he now told God, am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper? Why are you asking of me? Or my brother from me? Cain deliberately killed Abel. He didn't make a mistake. He planned it. He must have waited in a time when the guy was alone with him. Are we together? Are we together? And there's nobody that could call 911. Amen? But they were not wise to do. Are we together? I think. So he says, they have gone after the what? They have gone in the way of what? Cain. And ran greedily after the error of what? Balaam for reward. Is this similar to what we read in 2 Peter? Making merchandise? Good. He says, and perish in the what? The gainsaying. Saying for the sake of gain. Gainsaying of Corey. In verse 12, these are sport in your what? Feast of what? Charity. Wow. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds which are without what? Water. Did Peter describe similarly? Wells without what? Water. Good. It says clouds without water, that is what they promise they lack. It says carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit what? Wither it. Is this Psalms? Is this Psalms? Is he bringing you Psalms? Psalm 1? He says, trees whose fruit what? Wither it. He wants you to go to Psalms to read. Without what? Fruit. Twice what? Dead. Double dead. Are we together? Are we together? Then he says, plucked up by the what? By the root. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. These are poetic renderings. Wandering stars. He says, to whom is reserved the what? The blackness of what? Darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, he says, notice, who is it? Okay. So the seventh what? Prophet, right? From Adam, prophesied this, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds. So this is not salvation, this is judgment, which have they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are what? Murmurers. Complainers. Walking after their own lust. That's lasciviousness. And their mouths speak great swelling words, having men's persons in what? Admiration, because of advantage. They are preaching for gain. He says, but beloved. So are these people beloved? Those people who read, are they beloved? They are not. So they have no caution, they have no restraints, which is the opposite of self-control. They deny the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. They deny him. In verse 5, it says they do not believe. 6, it mentions angels that also left the habitation, angels that rebelled. In verse 7, he mentions Sodom and Gomorrah. In verse 11, he mentions Cain, Korah, greed as their pattern. In verse, let me see, in verse, look at verse 19. This be they who separate themselves, say, having not the Spirit. They do not have the Spirit. Are we together? Then he says they will come into judgment. And the judgment is crisis, destruction. So they are marked for destruction. They have not the Spirit. But you observe that he switches to believers in verse 17. But beloved, remember the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time. So they are mockers. So read Jude 4 again. There's again one to go. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our Lord God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Did you see that? So these are not saved. They are not saved. So you see, he made a distinction. But you, beloved. If I look at verse 20. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your... Did you see that? Which faith is that? The common salvation which you have what? Received. He says, build yourself on it. Build yourself on it. On your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God. The word keep there is the word phulasso. Phulasso is P-H-U-L-L-A-S-O. P-H-U-L-L-A-S-O. Phulasso. It means to protect and to guard. To protect and to guard. It says, keep yourselves, are we together? In the what? In the love of God, are we together? He says, looking for the mercy and our Lord Jesus, of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Look at 22. And some have compassion, and of some have compassion, making a difference. And others, what? Say with fear. So who are the people he says they should have compassion? Is it these folks? Is he talking about those who are without the Spirit? I'm asking a question. When he says, look at verse 20. Look at 17. Are you there? But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you there should be mockers in the world in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not what? The Spirit. So you can see that verse 18 to 19 is different from verse 4 to verse 16. They are still in the same category. But verse 4 to 16 deals with men who goes about to speak against the grace of God. If you observe those guys, it seems like they are folks with influence. Are we together? But we also find some sets of people who are also not saved. He says they are sensual. He says they have ungodly lust. Yeah, they are the same category. But he says they have not the Spirit. He then says, of some have compassion, making a what? A difference. Have compassion, making a difference. So how you are going to make a difference is in having compassion. Now, compassion there means to walk in love. And some have compassion, making a what? A difference. And others do what? Save with what? Fear. So he's talking to the believers to minister the gospel to them and walk in love. In other words, those that are open to the message of the gospel will get them saved. Those who are not, we do what? We do what? We walk in love. And in walking in love, what are we doing? In walking in love, what are we doing? It is have compassion. So in walking in love, what are we doing? Making what? What difference are you making? It says, save with what? With fear, right? 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 Pulling them out of what? The fire. Hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. In answer of some, have what? Have what? Compassion. Making what? A difference. So, what? Now, who am I to have compassion on? Who am I to have compassion on? Those in verse 16, more morals. I know. Is it just one person or many people? Is it just one person or many people? Is it just one person or many people? Are we dealing with an individual or a people?
a people. Among the people, as you minister the gospel to them, will some get saved? Those that didn't get saved, look at me. What is likely going to be their disposition? They'll be gentle? Will they be violent? Mockery? Repellent? Ungodly? When they do that towards you, have you preached to them? Will some be saved? Those who are not saved, and they rail at you and accuse you, mock at you, what is likely going to be the natural response of you towards somebody who has rejected what you have to offer and is still coming against you? You also lash back, Abby. But now, rather than lash back, what do? Have compassion. Make it what? From them. Are we together? So walk in love, demonstrating the difference. Is it clear? Is it clear? So all together you are different. You minister the gospel amongst men. Amen. You minister the gospel of them. These are referring to people that are very loud and strong on their ungodly life. Very strong on their ungodly life. They do it publicly. I've seen a lot of people like that. They get public. This is not someone that will be, you know, doing things codedly. It's like they are bold at it. The same way you are bold at the things of God, they are bold at the things of the flesh. So he's saying, save some. Are we together? Pulling them out of what? Of fire. That is, look at this. He says, save some, with what? With what? With fear. Wait, is this fear reverence? Is it, who are you revering? You are revering the person that you are saving? Are you revering the person you are saving? Are you revering God? Does it make sense? Does it make sense? And some, others rather, save what? With fear. Look at the next segment. Pulling out of the fire. In other words, you are supposed to save them the way you will save somebody who is being burnt. So the fear there is not reverence for God. It is still compassion and its urgency. Are we together? Is this something that is born out of compassion? It's not a reverence for God. Not in this text. The same way you will save. So look at this. Look at this. Look at me. The terror that the fellow will fall into should move you to save him. So it's still love. But you see how that love is working? That love is preventive and out of deep compassion. We're not talking about reverence for God here, but he's saying out of terror. But the terror is not your own. But you are seeing the terror the fellow will fall into. Because he spoke about judgment that will come upon them. Are we together? He spoke about judgment. He says they have been reserved. Just like the angels have been reserved unto destruction, everlasting destruction. Don't forget when he used the word fire, right? He uses fire in the same text that is talking about everlasting destruction. And fire is what destroys to the end. Which is why we have to come and study hell. I even wish I can start explaining on hell now. Are we together? Maybe I'll talk about it before we close this session. We look at hell. We look at hell. We look at the text on hell, hell, fire. So we see he uses fire to describe that everlasting destruction that awaits them. So he's saying, some, you walk in love. That is, that's what you end up doing to some. You just walk in love. Others, you will be able to save out of fear of what awaits them, as though you are pulling them out of fire. Then it says, hating even with even the garment spotted by the flesh. So it says in 24, now unto him that is able to what? To keep you from falling. Apistos, falling. Which means to stumble. A-P-A-I. Apistos, something like that. A-P-A-I-S-T-O-S. Apistos. Which implies not to stumble. It says, unto him that is able to keep you from falling, the same word keep, phulasso, from falling, and present you, histemai, to present. Show yourself, present yourself, histemai, you know, histemai, which means to make a stand, yep, and then faultless, anomos, amomos rather, A-M-O-M-O-S, amomos. Which means to be blameless. You see it in different books of the epistles. Amomos. Peter uses it. Paul uses it. You know, in his letters. So, he's saying that in verse 24, Jesus is responsible for the salvation of every believer. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling. He keeps his own and he watches over his own. He is able to keep you from falling. And to present you before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He is able to keep you from falling. If you look at the John text, he's able to keep you from falling. In John chapter 10, in verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I am my Father are one. Hallelujah. So he says he is able to keep from falling. He is able to keep from falling. He says none is able to pluck out of his hand. If you look at verse 2, Jesus began to talk about the sheep and him being the shepherd. He says in verse 1, verily I say unto you, that enter not by the door of the sheepfold, to climb that up some other way. The same is the thief and the robber. But he, now does it look like they crept in unawares? Huh? So that's exactly what Jesus is talking about. The men who creep in unawares. He says they are a robber and a thief. But he that entered in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. That is the shepherd. He says, when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So these men are not of his sheepfold. The second Peter 2 men, the Jude 4 men, they do not, Jude from verse 4 to verse 16, they are not a sheepfold. Are we together? They are not of the sheepfold. Quickly sit down. You're always going to ruin it. Are you a baby? We're waiting for you. Where's your Bible? Open your Bible. Always going to ruin it. We are reading from where? John. So we open to John. Have you found John? Find it quickly. John chapter 10. Are you there now? We are all waiting for you. Are you there now? Chapter 10. Very good.
So we are reading verse 4. And when he put forth his sheep, his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger would they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. Now look at 7. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. So these people have not entered in. They denied him. In verse 10, Jude says they turned away from the grace of God. They must have turned away from the shepherd. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, to destroy. I am come that ye might have life and have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So he says, they denied the Lord that bought them. But he that is an hireling and not a shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. So they do not know him. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. Another sheep I have, none of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man take it from me, but I lay it down on myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So they are not in his sheepfold. They are not. Are we together? That means Jesus is not their shepherd. They kept him unawares, means they were not amongst the fold. Jesus is not their shepherd. They are not born again. In John, again, chapter 12, verse 26, they do not qualify. In John 12:26, he says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So, these men do not follow the Lord. They deny the Lord. That means they do not serve him. They do not serve him. In John 8 verse 12, he says, as long as I am in the world, sorry, that's John 9. In John 8 verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So these men, they do not follow Jesus. They are in darkness. Hallelujah. So Jude in verse 24 says that Jesus is responsible for the salvation of the believer. He watches over him and keeps him. He watches over him and keeps him. Are we together? He keeps him saved. Again, the same thing we have been seeing is what Jude affirms in his letters. But in teaching discernment, he now began to talk about men who brought deception amongst the saints, or who preached deception in their world. And he gives the saints discernment to be able to note them and to abstain from them. And while abstaining from them, he says to build themselves on the most holy faith. So again, as we have seen, it is not the responsibility of the believer to keep his salvation. It is Jesus' responsibility. It is Jesus' responsibility. The believer, rather, is to grow in salvation by building him or herself on the most holy faith, and to bring forth fruits of the same. Is it clear? So that's what Jude is saying in Jude verse 4. Quickly, let's look at another text in Galatians. I'll talk about this. That'll be all for today. In Galatians chapter 5, which is another text that, interestingly, I think I've had more conversations from this text more than even the other text. I guess my audiences are not really delved into the other texts well. or much people had not. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 21, I want us to read. It is envy, is murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They which do such things. Now,
one thing has always built us out. What is that? Contextual reading.
Let's look at the context. I don't even use much Greek words here. Just context. It says in verse 1 of chapter 5, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled. Do you remember the word entangled? Again, with the yoke of what? Of bondage. What is the liberty? In Galatians 4, look at verse 25. Are we there? It says, for this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, Nazareth to Jerusalem, which is now and is in bondage with our children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice thou that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate are many more children than she with had an husband. 28. Now we brethren as Isaac are children of the what? Of a promise. Wait there. What is the promise? In Galatians chapter 3, what is the promise? It says in verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Some say spirit and flesh. Okay. He says, have you suffered so many things in vain, if yet been vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the spirit, worketh miracles among you. The spirit. What exactly is he driving at? Look at Galatians 1. In 1, having said Paul an apostle unto, he says, the churches of Galatia or Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God our Father. So he speaks of the deliverance effected in Christ Jesus. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that have called you into the grace of God unto another gospel. So he talks about being strangely persuaded. They were being strangely persuaded, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven preach another gospel unto you than that which you have heard, we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As he said before, also I say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So if you read on and on, in chapter 2, he spoke about his journey in Revelation and his apostleship, how he was endorsed, received by the apostles. Are we there? He later on in 16 saying that a man is not justified by the works of the law but by the faith of Jesus Christ. He mentioned how that if having been justified by faith, a man is yet found seeking justification through the law, he makes the faith of Christ vain. He says in 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, because righteousness, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ died in vain. He's dead in vain.
So
you follow the thought in 1 and 2,
which were still introductory.
Chapter 3 is where he now begins to talk about what he wrote. Having laid the foundation of righteousness through faith, sanctification through faith. Are we together? Having laid the foundation of beginning, or having received the gospel of salvation, he questioned why they would be persuaded, strangely persuaded by another doctrine. So in chapter 3, he expressly communicated his thoughts to the church at Galatia. He starts out and says in verse 1, "O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth crucified among you? And the evidently set forth I told you implies how Jesus was evidently explained in scriptures as being crucified for their sins. Jesus was never crucified in the sight of the Galatians. Evidently said what crucified, therefore, will have to do with a vivid explanation, which he had done when he met with them earlier." Are we together? You read that in the book of Acts. Now, he had said earlier on in chapter 1, he says, "Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you will pervert the gospel of Christ." He says, "I marvel in verse 6 that you are so soon removed from him that have called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel." That another gospel is what he then says in chapter 3, verse 1, that they bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose I, Jesus Christ, had been evidently set forth crucified. Evidently set forth crucified would explain the vivid explanation of the gospel, the grace of Christ. He then says in verse 3, verse 2, "This only will I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith." So chapter 3, verse 2 is Paul starting to have his conversation. Chapter 3, verse 2 is Paul starting to communicate the reason why he wrote, "Oh foolish Galatians, this only will I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith." He says, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh?" So the Spirit versus the flesh is the book of Galatians. Context. Then he says in verse 4, "Have you suffered so many things in vain, if yet be in vain? He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit, worketh miracles among you, doeth it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith." So he calls what is of faith the Spirit. He calls what is of, you know, the works of the law, he calls it the flesh. "The works of the law will therefore be at variance with faith, just as the Spirit will be at variance with the flesh." Pay attention. He says in verse 6, brings in Abraham in context. He says he believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are of the children of Abraham." So he puts Abraham in a class of faith, and he puts those who are of faith in the same class with him, Abraham being the leader, the captain. He then says in verse 8, "And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel at Abraham, saying, in thee all nations shall be blessed. So then they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed everyone that continueth not in all the things that are written in the book of the law to do them. But no man is justified by the law." Again, it goes back to justification through faith. "In the sight of God is evident, just shall live by faith." It says in verse 12, "And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth those things shall live by them, in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is really caused everyone to hang on the tree. That the blessing of Abraham, that is the fruit of faith," the blessing of Abraham is not the blessing which Abraham gives, the blessing which Abraham partook of, or the blessing that we saw as from Abraham. "That the blessing of Abraham, which will be the fruit of faith, the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Oh, so he brings in the Spirit. He says it is promise. He says it is received through faith, the faith which we find Abraham walking in, through which justification comes. Are you paying attention? I'll take 14 again. that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, brethren, and speak after the manner of men, though it be but the man's covenant. Yet be confirmed, O man, disannulled or added thereunto. Now to Abraham and his seed where the promise is made. What promise? The promise of the Spirit. The promise of justification through faith. So faith is of the Spirit, said Paul. Are we together? He says, now to Abraham and his seed where the promise is made, said none unto seed as of many, but as of one, to thy seed which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant will be the covenant of the Spirit, that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, he says, which was 430 years after, cannot disallow that he should make the promise of none effect. The promise of what? The promise of the Spirit. For if the inheritance be of the law, what is inheritance? The Spirit. For if the Spirit be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by what? Promise. Are you following the thought? 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of the mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. Is the law against promise of righteousness through faith? Is the law against the Spirit? No, God forbid. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, is that Spirit? If the law had been given, which should have given the Spirit, righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we are kept under the law, shut up, it is unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So the law points to the Spirit. It does not give you the Spirit, but the law will point to the Spirit. The law will point you to the fact that what you need is the Spirit. Is it clear? The law will show you that, I can't help you. It is the Spirit that will help you. So the reason why God gave them the law is so that they will turn into faith. They will see their inadequacies in obeying the law. They will themselves see that, we can't obey the law. Why? Because cursed is every man that does not continue in the law. So the moment they see that they couldn't continue in the law, they will have to surrender their religious pride and trust God to help them. But rather than trusting God to help them, they kept on, making efforts to fulfill the law. The law was meant to point them to the Spirit as the solution and to show them that in itself it is inadequate. That is why he says the law is not against the promise of God. The law is not against the Spirit. The law rather points to the Spirit, because the law could not give righteousness. Are we together? If the law could have given righteousness, then righteousness should have been by the law. That's what we read in verse 21. I'll take it again. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given, we should have given life. If there had been a law given, we should have given the Spirit. If there had been a law given, we should have given righteousness. Then righteousness should have been by the law. Did you get it? Did you get it? I need an answer. Did you get it? So look at 22. But the Scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise of faith, by faith of Jesus Christ, might be given to them that believe. 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was the schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. Can we say to bring us to the Spirit? To point us to faith? Yeah. That we might be justified by faith. So the law was a schoolmaster to point us to faith, to point us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that, faith is come, we are no longer under the what? The schoolmaster. You know what? The schoolmaster has done his work. If the law had been able to point us to faith, so when I'm reading the Old Testament books and it points me to faith, the Old Testament books have done their work. Is it clear? Is it clear? So it says, verse 26, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Contextual reading we are doing. I'm not using Greek or Hebrew. 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into faith are put on Christ. Therefore, he says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond of free nor free. Neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. You be Christ and you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What is the promise again? The Spirit. the spirit versus the flesh. Galatians 4. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, but though he be Lord of all, but is under teachers and governors until the time appointed of the Father. This is a parable. He says, even so, we're children. We're under the elements of the world. Elements of the world, they talk about the law. But when the fullness of the time is come, God sent his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent for the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Are we together? So the law brings us into the Spirit, or points us to the Spirit. Not by obeying the law, but by understanding the essence why the law is given and the message therein. In verse 28, in verse 8 rather, he says, verse 8, how be then when you knew not God? You did service unto them which by nature are no gods, but now after you have known God, or rather have known of God, how turn you again weak to the weak and the beggarly elements? Whereunto you desire again to be in bondage, you observe days and months and times and years, and are afraid of you lest I bestow upon you labor in the brethren. I beseech you, as I am you are, and you have not injured me at all. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel of to you at the first, and my temptation which was in my flesh you despised not or rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness you spoke of? For I bear record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes given unto me. I might therefore become your enemy, because I tell you the truth, they zealously affect you, but not well. Yeah, they would exclude you, that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in the good thing, and not only when I am present toward you. My little children of my travail in bed unto Christ before you. I desire to be present with you, and to charge my voice, and to stand. And for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, for one by a bond woman, the other by a free woman. For he who was of bond woman was born after the flesh, and he of a free woman was of promise. Which things are an allegory. This is a parable. For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which generated to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai, and Arabia, who answers Jerusalem, who now is, and is in bondage with our children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren, not break forth and cry, thou the traveler, not but dost thou bear more children than she. It is which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of the Spirit. Yes or no? Thank you. 29. But as then he was born, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. So notice he interchanges his promise with spirit. Are we together? He said in 30, nevertheless, what here the scripture, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of what? Of the free woman. Are we together? In other words, the spirit, the promise. He says, verse 31, so then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the what? Of the free. Are we together? Chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. What is the liberty? In the Spirit. Away from the law, into what? The Spirit. Or, take the law aside, use the word flesh, away from the flesh. Notice that in chapter 4, which you read, he merges the Jew and the Gentile. Except you skipped it, or he skipped you. Go to chapter 4. In chapter 4, verse 2, he says in verse 1, the heir, as long as the child differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. In verse 2, I told you to look into your Bible. He's under tutors and governors until the time appointed unto the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent for the Son, made of a woman, made under what? The law, to redeem them that are what? Under the law. Are these Jews? Answer the question, are these Jews? That we might receive the adoption of what? Of sons. Now, look at verse 6-7. Everybody wants to go. And because you are sons, well, our same voice of his own spirit that are kind of a father. 7. You are no more than about his son, heir of God through Christ. 8.
verse 8, does it talk about Jews or non-Jews? Non-Jews. Who worship what? Idols. So he merges in Christ Jesus. God merges in Christ Jesus the Jews and Gentiles. He merges the Jews and Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Are we together? Are we together? He merges in Christ Jesus Jews and what? And Gentiles. Are we together? Are we together? So in chapter 5 verse 1, he says, stand in the liberty where Christ has made you free. So the worship of idols and the works of the law have one description. It is flesh. Flesh. So he says, the liberty therefore is from the flesh into where? The spirit. From the flesh into the spirit. So he says in 2, behold, I Paul say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that is a debtor to do the old law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, so you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through faith, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus there is neither what? Circumcision, ability, anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by what? By love. Are we together? Are we together? So faith worketh by love there talks about faith whose fruit is what? Is love. Faith that is expressed through love. Are we together? Faith which worketh by love. So faith which worketh by love. The faith of God which expresses love. So what you have as a result of faith in service is love. The service that you're seeing, the work that you're seeing, is actually love. The love is from faith. You are not pleasing God by the works of the flesh. You are rather loving Him as a result of faith. So the works, the activities that we will see of service will no more be as instructed by the law. It is the love of God working in you. Are we together? And that love is working by faith. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? That love is originating from faith. Is it clear? From commitment, from faith unto God. From faith, the love is being expressed from faith. Are we together? So it says, for faith walketh by love. Faith walketh by love. Faith expresses itself through love. Are we together, church? Faith which expresses itself through love. So it says, the seven. You did wrong well, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This position cometh not of him that calls you a little living in the long. He says, I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. He says, But he that troubled you, he says, shall bear his judgment whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I hear priest that comes to show why do I suffer persecution, then your friends of cross seas, I would that you will be cut off. Is it which trouble you? For brethren, you have been called to liberty, only is not liberty on occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. So the faith works by what? By love. Verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, thou shalt love. Did you see that? So the one word God recommends is a faith which works by love. Are we together? So faith which expresses itself through love, not some works that seeks to get, you know, a recommendation and acceptance before God, and you don't have faith. So look at this. In 15, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed, he says, that you be not consumed of one another. This I say then. So our examination will start here. This I say then. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the laws of the flesh. So spirit versus flesh. Spirit versus flesh. Spirit versus flesh. Spirit versus flesh. Verse 17. For the spirit lusteth against the flesh, or the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. I'll be slow now. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Actually,
it cannot do the things that it would. But leave it that way. Verse 18. But if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the what? The law. Now the works of the flesh. Are we together? Are we together? The works of the flesh are manifest. Pay attention. Which are these? What are the works of the flesh? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you, as I have told you in time past, that which do those things, the flesh, has no part in the Spirit. Are we together? That which do those things, the flesh is the one that does all these things. These are the works of the flesh. That which does those things has no part, is not a part of the Spirit, the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, is love. Does that make sense to you? Let's get back. He says in verse 16, walk in the what? The Spirit. That you will not fulfill, and you will not fulfill the what? The lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. In 16, he mentions the Spirit. In 17, he mentions the Spirit versus the lust of the flesh. In 18, he says, you are led of the Spirit. If you are led of the Spirit, you are not under what? The law. Actually, the word if you read sins, because it's not a condition as though it were not true. Since you are led, the same word as under that if is also sins. Since you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh. So, Paul in Galatians 5 compares the Spirit with the works of the flesh. Is it clear? The Spirit with the flesh. The activities of the Spirit with the activities of the flesh. Are we together? Are we together? Can you see the book? Can you see the book of Galatians? Actually, said I won't step out. I was going to stay here today. Can you see the book of Galatians? So, we haven't read Galatians 6. Amen. But we have read Galatians 1 to 5. So look at this. Okay, let me step down just once or twice. What is the reason for the book of Galatians? What was Paul teaching? Don't take my time. Don't take that. Think. Wait. Why did he write the book? I marvel that you are what? So soon what? Removed. So what does he do? He puts them back. Now, how does he put them back? Do right, jolly see. Look at everybody. You will write tired. Don't worry. So I will remind you what I just said now in 6 years' time. So look at this. He says, you are so soon what? Removed from what? From him that have called you into what? The grace of Christ.
Right? Now, correction is not correction if knowledge is not ministered. Amen. So look at what he does. He now puts them back into the grace of what? Of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? He now said, you that you are seeking to be justified by the law. He uses Galatians 1, he uses 2. Are we together? To debunk it. He gave illustrations, parables, schoolmaster, captain, a child under the law, under the governor. In other words, that law was pointing us towards the Spirit. Do you get what he's doing? So he has still not done his work. Because you might think that the book of Galatians is informative. The book is not informative. The book is collective, is a defense. In defense, there is a main message. Defense is not to debunk. Defense is to bring the truth, but the truth will bulldoze. So he has still not said what he's saying. So when he started saying, oh, you sought to be justified by the law, right? He now debunked the law. He now said, God is not after you living by the law. What God wants is what? Give me that phrase again. The faith which works by what? By love. The moment he makes the statement, the faith which worketh by love, he has communicated his intention for writing the book. That is, what I brought to you was faith. He says, he that ministered to you, doeth it by the works of the law, or by the what? The hearing of faith. So if you are in faith, why then are you going back to the law? What God wants is not the law. Are we together? What God wants is faith. But that faith is the faith that worketh by love. That is, when the faith is in your heart, that faith naturally will release the activities God wants. So rather than seeking to please God by the law, God wants what? Faith. And faith naturally expresses itself through what? Through love. So the faith that worketh by love is what God brought to us. Are we together? The faith that worketh through the love of God. Now, the love of God is talking about is what that faith produces. So when you are in that faith has in it a working of God's love. That rather than going back to the law to seek to please God, hey, just by staying and understanding, being grounded in that faith, you will see activities of love pouring out toward God. And you don't need to go into the law. Does that make sense to you? So, the next things it will start discussing after will be what? Will be the faith and its what? Its love. So, he now says, the fruit of the what? Of the Spirit is what? Is what? Is love. Are we there? Well, I'm choosing my words. Are we there? So, look at it again. Go back again. So, you can see what he's doing in the book of Galatians. So, the book of Galatians is to restore believers to a point where they see that what they need is just to be established in the faith of the gospel. The activities of service is supposed to come out of love for the Lord. That's the collective part of the book. That's the purpose of the book. But to do that, he has to now talk about the law. He talks about Abraham. He talks about Agai. He talks about Mount Sinai. He spoke about Isaac. He talks about the promise. He spoke about the Spirit. He spoke about the law. That was not the message. Amen. The message is what you get into at the mid part of the book towards the end in Galatians 5. So he didn't discuss his message until he got into chapter 5. Chapter 5 is the correction, is the purpose of writing. That is what he sought to do. So he says,
Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I just about 30 minutes and I'll be done. So it is, since you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law, now the works of the law. The works of the law. So he's dealing with the activities of the Spirit, which is love, versus what? The works of the flesh. That is the context of verse 21. Now, he says, the works of the flesh. In other words, this is what the flesh does. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication. So it is the flesh that is in conversation, not a person. It is the flesh. So when it gets to that do such things, it is the flesh we are talking about, not a person. So it shouldn't translate they. In fact, the word they is the word ho, H-O, which implies it, or that, or what. Are we together? Are we together? There's another host, he, ho, also, which is another shade of the word ho, which refers to who. Amen. Amen. In fact, let me show you something quickly. I didn't plan to talk about this. Let me just show you. Galatians 5, quickly. Romans 5, quickly. Romans 5. And see how rendering like that can just alter your understanding. In Romans 5, in verse 12, he says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into what? The world, Esekomai. He says, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have what? Sinned. Now look at verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. 14, everyone. Nevertheless, death reigned from what? Adam to Moses, even over them which had not sinned, after the similes of what? Adam's transgression. Who is the figure of him that was to come? Bad rendering. The word who there is wrongly positioned. If you are careless, or if you read it with the word who, it makes you think that Adam is the figure of who? Again, who told you that was to come is Jesus? You read deep into that text. Who told you that was to come is Jesus? But look at the text again, verse 12. What is the subject matter in verse 12? Is it the man or the sin? Did he say, through sin, one man destroyed the world? Wait, look at that construction. Look at that construction. Through sin, one man destroyed the world, and the man, what is the subject of conversation? You are wrong. The subject of that conversation will be the man. The subject will be what is focused on most. If I say by sin, one man has affected the earth, and the man then, and through that man, and also through that man, what's the subject of that conversation? The man. But if I follow this construct that is here, and it says, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by what? Sin. And so death passed upon all, for that all have what? Sin. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned. What is the focus of this conversation? The sin and its effects.
Did you get it? So the subject matter here is sin. So if you read on, nevertheless, death reigns from who? Death reigns from who? Adam to Moses. Even over them that are not sinned after the similitude of Adam's. So wait, what is the focus? Transgression is the sin. Even when we spoke about Adam, we are still talking about sin. Are we together? Are we together? If you look at from verse 1, the context is sin. Verse 1, the issue is sin. Verse 6, the issue is sin. Verse 7, the issue is sin. Verse 8, the issue is our sins. Verse 10, the issue is sin. Are we together? Verse 11, receive atonement of sins. So verse 12, sin enters. So he's telling us how sin came. That's why he mentioned Adam. Or else, sin was the conversation. Do you get it? Do you get it? So look at verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that are not seen after the similitude of what? Adam's transgression. Who is the figure of him that was to come? Notice now the word who there is the word osiho. Is the same word, the word what? The same word used for which? So if the subject matter is sin, is it who that should be there or which? You know, during this seminar, I said you should bring out your concordances. And I said you should do it this morning. Any service. And I said you should check it. You now see that, the word O-S-E-O. You now see you're strong. You now see which is there. Okay. That is there. Okay. Who is also there? Okay. Whose is there? Those is there. The same word. So it is the context that will help you to see which one best or appropriately serves that text. And you can do it. So which is the figure? Now, he said, what about the word in? In was already inserted because of who? If the who changes to which, him will also switch. Which is the figure of that which was to come? He's not saying that Adam was the figure of Jesus. Yeah? He says the sin of Adam was the figure of the sins to come. What is the sin of Adam? Unbelief. He was the figure of the sins to come. Of the sin to come. So he's saying that Adam's sin was a pattern. Are we together? Are we together? Adam's transgression was a pattern of how man transgresses from God's plan. So he's not saying Adam is the figure of Jesus that was to come. He's saying that the sin of Adam, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, that was the focus, Adam's transgression, the transgression which is the figure of that which was to come. So you see how who and which and all of that needs to be rightly appropriated, or appropriated rather. Appropriated already rightly. So in Galatians 5 there, that word they, ho, which implies that, or which, it implies they also. It implies this. It implies those. And so on. So ho is not always used for persons in text. It can also be used for things. So when we look at Galatians 5, and we see that the context is the flesh versus the spirit, he now says, that which, are we together? That which doeth such things, he says, shall not inherit kleronomos, which means to take part.
to participate in the kingdom, Basileo, B-A-S-I-L-E-U-O, Basileo, which refers to a sphere of influence or authority. A sphere of influence. So it will not be part of the influence. That which doeth those things will not be part of the influence of the Spirit. So the works of the flesh, in verse 19 to 21, the works of the flesh, which is explained in verse 19 to 21, are not part of the kingdom of God. They have no place in the kingdom of God. Are we together? Are we together? That which doeth those things, referring to the flesh, not persons, the flesh, the work of the flesh will not find a place in the kingdom. Are we together? So he's still differentiating, because that's what the context is doing. He's still differentiating between the flesh from the Spirit. The subject of this course remains the Spirit and what the Spirit does. So the flesh, or that which is of the flesh, has no participation in the kingdom of God. Are we together? In the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God there will refer to the Spirit. That is why the next statement is, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. He didn't say love, joy, peace, long suffering. The fruit of the Spirit, notice it is singular. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love is what we now express as joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with their affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, or since we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit, not desires of vain glory. Are we together? Or provoking one another, envying one another. And if any of you be overtaken in a fault, restore him. That is love walking. Are we together? Are we together? In the spirit of meekness. Don't forget that meekness has been mentioned in verse 23 as the fruit of the Spirit. Bear ye one another's body, fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Faith that worketh by love. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? So, he's differentiating between the Spirit and the flesh. You see the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians 6 and then in verse 9. It says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Notice it says, and such were some of you. So 1 Corinthians 6, again, is not discussing persons, but is discussing traits, the things of the flesh. He is discussing the state of man before he believes the gospel. Are we together? So the such there is not referring to persons. He's referring to traits. Are we together? Traits of the unsaved man. So in 11, he says, such were some of you. In other words, your identity has changed. He says, you are washed, identity has changed. He says, you are sanctified, your identity has changed. You are justified. It is in the name of the Lord Jesus. It is by the Spirit of our God. So in Galatians chapter 5 there, he's dealing with the works of the flesh. He says to walk in the Spirit, stoicho, which refers to a definite path. A path that has been set. What is the path? The Spirit. The Spirit. Stoicho, which means to walk orderly. Orderly. To conduct yourselves orderly. Someone says, we also have the word peripeteo. Peripeteo is more explorative. Peripeteo is more explorative. It talks about a circular manner. more or less like to repeat something over and over, over and over, to revisit, to repeat something over and over. But you also have the word spiritual, which refers to orderliness in our work. The orderliness will be the Spirit. So to walk in the Spirit is very clear. It means to walk in love. It means to walk in humility. It means to walk in patience. It means to walk in long-suffering. It means to walk in goodness. It means to walk in kindness. It means to walk in temperance. It means to walk in joy. Are we together? Are we together? It means to walk in patience. So Galatians 5:25 and Galatians 5:16 is dealing with our walk in the Spirit. In the Spirit. The walk is listed in 22 as the fruit of the Spirit. Let us walk in love. So the path being described for the believer to walk in is love. As we walk in love towards one another, we have fulfilled the law. So the focus will not be persons. That which doeth those things has no part in the kingdom of God. The kingdom refers to the Spirit. The flesh will not inherit. The flesh is not found in or will not partake. That which is in the flesh will not be found in the Spirit. The works of the flesh has no part in the Spirit, has no part in the kingdom. Are we together? So Paul again clearly states that the believer, are we together, is in the Spirit. In the Spirit, and he is to walk in the Spirit. So what we have seen, the writer of Hebrews spoke about in Hebrews chapter 10, talking about the walk of salvation. In 2 Peter 2, talking about the walk of salvation for the saved. Jude also talks about walk of salvation, building yourself on your most holy faith. Paul spoke about walk of salvation in 1 Corinthians 3. Paul spoke about the work of salvation in 1 Corinthians 9, faithfulness, also. So Jesus also spoke about the works of salvation in John chapter 10. He says, we'll follow him. We'll follow him. Are we together? Are we together? Look at Matthew 7. We'll close there. I'll clear Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Just take some 10 more minutes. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, look at verse 22. Are you there? Are you there? So let's read. Many will say unto me, in that day, in that period, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I what? Never knew you. Depart from me, you that walk iniquity. Notice Jesus says the walk iniquity. Iniquity. You need to look at the workers of iniquity within the scriptures. Now look at the context. In chapter 7, he says, therefore, verse 12, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you also for them, to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Verse 13, enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Don't forget that the way of life refers to Jesus himself. So he says, because John says he is the way. So he says, narrow is the way. Why did he say narrow? Because he is the only one. Why does he say wide is the way? Because it refers to all other ideologies of man seeking for salvation. Are we together? So he says, enter in at the straight gate, narrow. The narrow gate is not talking about how difficult it is to get saved. He's talking about how that the way of salvation is not as large, numerous, is in the singularity of the source of salvation and not in the difficulty of it. Are we together? The singularity of the source of salvation, which is Jesus himself. He is that straight way. He is that way. Is vast as straight because it's the only way. It is narrow because it's the only way. It is scarce because it's the only way. Are we together? Now, verse 15. Verse 15 says, beware of what? False prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. So, the context of verse 22 says, false prophet. Look into your Bible. It says, false prophet. In verse 16, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, the good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but the corrupt tree bringeth forth what? Corrupt, evil fruit. Who is the corrupt tree then? False prophet. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Who is the corrupt tree there? False prophet. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. Who is that? False prophet. Wherefore, by their fruit you shall know them. Who is that referring to? False prophets. Not everyone that seeth unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone that calls me Lord, Lord, or that describe me as Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is what? In heaven. So those who do not enter have not done his will. Are we together? What is the will? To enter into the narrow gate. Look at 22. Many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Notice, this refers to, you know, activities, service, yet, you know, prophesied in thy name. He says, cast out devils in your name. And he says, in thy name done many wonderful works. And look at what Jesus says to them. Who professed unto them, I never knew you. Notice they were the ones saying they did it in his name. He didn't say they did it in his own name. They were the ones professing. It wasn't Jesus' confession. It was their own confession. Are we together? Are we together? So again, these folks are not saved. They are not saved. Some say, but they had miraculous power. Yes. There are people who are going to have miraculous power, but they are not born again. I told you that faith for working miracles is even from faith for salvation. Are we together? Are we together? Right? So, in the text also, he says, I never knew you. The word never, are we together? Never knew you. Then the word knew you is ginosko, which means to be aware. I am not aware of you. I don't know you. Jesus didn't say, I don't know you anymore. He says, I never knew you. We never met. You were never born again. You were never born again. Rather than believe the gospel, receive salvation, you know, whatever was going on in your mind, you prioritize a public, acceptance over the salvation of your souls. So we did it in your name. He says, I never knew you. Are we together? So these folks were never saved. They were false prophets. They didn't preach his message. Notice they didn't preach his message. They did not preach his message. But they had miracles that they claimed that they were doing on his behalf. Are we together? In thy name means on his behalf. On your behalf, we did this. Well, you did not receive the gospel. Are we together? It is very important to note that in John chapter 6 and then in verse 37, Jesus makes it clear. In John 6:37, Jesus states categorically about all them that come to him. He says, but I say unto you, he says, that you also have seen me. He says, and believe not. And all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. In no wise, O me, O you, then M E. It is two words. O you is one word, O. Then you have M E with an hyphen on top of it. Stress. Hyphen on top of it. Not a stress, just hyphen on top of it. Alright? So it says, O me. It's a word that was used in Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. You see how the word in no wise is used. In Matthew chapter 5, and then in verse 18. Matthew 5:18, just 5 minutes. Matthew 5:18, it says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Shall under no circumstance, shall never, shall not at all. That's the word "ome." It means never, not at all, in no case, under no circumstance. Never, none at all, in no case, under no circumstance. In Matthew 10:42, "And whosoever shall drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, that give rather to drink," he says, "only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise, under no circumstance, in no case, lose his reward." In Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, and then in 31, he says, But he spake the more vehemently, "If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee," he says, "in any wise." Likewise also said they all. That is, Peter was saying, "I will not deny you under any circumstance. Under no circumstance will I deny you." Luke also used it once in chapter 18 and then in verse 17. In Luke 18 and then in verse 17. "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God," it is "as a little child, shall in no wise enter therein." Shall in no wise enter therein. So in John's Gospel chapter 6 and then in verse 37, which we read concerning what Jesus said about those who came to the Father, those who came to him, "All that the Father hath given to me shall come to me," he says, "and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." I will under no circumstance deny them. I will in no case, I will under no condition deny them. So when he says, "I never knew you," it means they never came to him. According to John 10, which we read, they were never members of his sheepfold. They were never sheep of his pasture. They never followed him. They never heard his voice. He never knew them. They were never saved. Under no guise, he says, will I deny them that come to me. Under no circumstance. It shows you that the believer remains secure in the Savior's hand. Hallelujah. Before me. So the question as to how long is salvation, and I have a personal study here. So the question as to how long is salvation, are we together? Is he answered? So you can literally get hold of our teachings and listen again and again and do a personal study of all the texts, so that it goes beyond what you were shown in the scriptures. Primarily becomes your conviction. Faith worketh by love. The more convinced you are of that faith, the more love is expressed in your heart. So the teaching on the eternal salvation of the believer, are we together? The teaching on the eternal security of the believer is Jesus' work, is a reliance on his faithfulness. That he comes into the world that does not know forever and takes hold of things. He goes to the grave, he rises from the dead to make forever available. You see, that concept called forever is not a man's jurisdiction of capacity. It's not. The moment we use the word forever, we have brought God into the picture. Everlasting salvation. That is what God does. Are we together? So the one who has received the gospel, and as we go about preaching the gospel, as we go about healing the sick, as we go about casting out devils, God wants us to know that when we have gotten people saved genuinely, He takes on the work. He is the anchor of the soul, like the writer of Hebrews said. Yes, I know we need to teach people to walk in the Spirit. We need to teach people to grow spiritually. We need to teach people to serve the Lord, to get into the church, to be established, to join the prayer meetings, to join the cell meetings, to join the church, to work for us, to serve the Lord, and to even raise other ministers doing the same. But the question I'm touching, whether I am saved, I remain saved or not, is Jesus' work. It's God's question to answer, and He has answered that today. So we preach the gospel boldly. Are we together? Imagine what men like Ray Donkey would have known, men like Billy Graham would have known, men who had preached the gospel, held the largest crusades, men like Charles Finney and all of these guys. They knew Charles Spurgeon, they knew that when men are saved, God keeps them. Hallelujah. I told you that God is too intelligent to go through all He did in salvation, and then He makes, you know, the guarantee of the work. He put it within your own hand. No, He will not. God has put the Spirit in our heart. So His Spirit in our heart, as long as the Holy Spirit remains in our heart, that is the surety and the guarantee that the believer is saved once and forever. Are we together, church? So we revisit this subject again shortly, and actually shorter than you think. On Sunday, we're taking a look at something completely different. Are we together? And then ride on. Praise the Lord. Let your stand to our face. Be blessed. I give you praise this morning. Let that be so guided by Jesus.